good morning. What a great time we had last night. We sang with the East Coast Gospel Music Association. There were six groups Friday night, six groups Saturday night. We sang last night. And the whole theme of the thing, I believe, was you can depend on Jesus. And I know we have a little dedication going on this morning, so we want that child to know that that child can depend on Jesus too.
Amen. Y'all give him another big hand. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. One day with Jesus is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years will be like one day. That's the promises that we have, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We're just glad to be here this morning, and we want to take this time just to thank our veterans. If you are here and you're a veteran or first responder, and you have served our country and served us to preserve the freedoms that God has entrusted to this nation, I'd ask if you would to stand at this time, please. Y'all give them a hand. And y'all pray for them and pray for our military and our first responders and their family in the days and weeks ahead. We often remember this. I was said something here a while back about Pastor Appreciation, that it was a Hallmark holiday, and a lot of people kind of took that as I didn't like holidays, but it wasn't that. What my point was, a lot of times we only think about these holidays on that particular day. And our veterans, it's a 24-hour day job, 7 days a week. And we need to remember them and pray for them and pray for their families. As we open this service, I'm going to ask Pastor Roger if he will open us up with a opening prayer and also pray for our veterans and thank the Lord for them. And here comes Mr. Fred in the door. Y'all give him a hand first. All right, Brother Roger, if you'll open us in prayer.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your love. We thank you for all the people that are gathered here this day for worship. We feel your presence here. It wouldn't be worship without you. We thank you so much for all that you do. I pray for the Canaan land and their music that they sing, their mission there. I pray for Pastor Wesley as he brings the message today that you've laid upon his heart. We pray for the child dedication and the veterans and all the ones who take care of us, safety. Please put a hedge of protection around this church. Thank you again, like I said, for your presence here today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roger. And we just thank the Lord for being here this morning. And we want to begin. We're having a baby dedication today, and I just want to open up with this verse here, and then we're going to go right into the service, and we're going to have the dedication, and then Canaan land is going to come back and lead us in worship, and we're going to close out in worship and singing, and then y'all going to go out and tell everybody that you're in the presence of the Lord today. Amen? Amen. That's the plan here today. So this is one of my favorite. I say this all the time. I'm kind of like my mama. My mama said this is my favorite Bible verse. I said, Mama, it takes me a whole notebook to write down all your favorite Bible verse. But this is the first time I read this after I've saved reading through the Bible. It says, "Hear, O Israel, for the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And it says, as he continues here, it says that these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on the frontals of your forehead, they shall be a sign and on your gates. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, again, as we begin this service, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you chose your word to reveal yourself to us, and most of all, that in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, you chose to reveal your glory, your honor, your majesty. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Today we're here to do a baby dedication. And Miss Bristol Kaylee Hart, she was born on July the 28th. Her granddaddy and her daddy, everybody was sending me texts to say they're on the way to hospital. Amen. And she was born, and today we're going to dedicate her to the Lord. So as we talk about dedication, I just want to let you kind of give you a little heads up here what dedication is. Dedication is not infant baptism. We're not baptizing her today. Dedication is not saying that, that we're confirming that she's going to believe in the Lord. Dedication is saying that we are dedicating her to the Lord, and that we're going to do everything as a church to help her parents as they do everything they can to raise her in such a way that she comes to salvation in Jesus Christ. February the 4th of 2023, I'll be 60 years old. A lot of people didn't think I'd make it that long. This is the first year I can ever remember a birthday that I'll not hear my mama say these words. No matter what year it was, this year, if she was alive, she'd say, when I'd call her, "Do you know where I was at 60 years ago today at 10:03? I said, "Where, Mama?" She says, UNC Hospital. And then she said this, when the doctor and the nurse laid you on my chest, I said, Lord, no matter what I do in this life, I give you this child now and help me do everything I can to raise him to honor you. I've heard that for 59 years. Well, I probably didn't remember it the first 2 years. But that's what baby dedication is. Baby dedication is saying that I want to do everything in my home, everything outside of the home, and everything that I do to teach my child to know and to love God. And this morning, as we begin this, we want to look at this passage. It says, first of all, this is the Shema, or the listen. Listen in the Bible means obey. It don't mean just hear and keep on walking. It means to obey. And Moses, think about how this worked. In Genesis, God walked in the garden. I always love them songs where he's walking in the garden and it's the mist in the morning and he's talking to Adam and Eve. They had this intimate relationship and God told them to be fruitful and multiply. When you take that into context and read it in the Bible, for them to have children, it meant they were supposed to create something. Not just life, but a life that worshiped God. When God told Abraham and when he told Noah and throughout the Bible, when he tells them to be fruitful and multiply, they are to create more worshipers of God. They're to teach the next generation to worship God. Now think about this. God spoke to Adam and Eve and told them what to do. God also spoke to Abraham. He told Abraham, he says, I will make you a great nation. I'll make your family great. I'll make your name great. From your family, all the families of the earth will be blessed. He talked to Abraham. He called Abraham out of the land of Ur to follow him and that he would show him where to go. Then he talked to Moses through a burning bush. You remember, he spoke to Moses through a burning bush. When we come to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law or the second law. Moses is in the plains of Moab, and it's just before he goes up on Mount Nebo. And as he's there, he writes or pens this book. Now think about this. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. I know some people might dispute that, but I believe that. I believe God told Moses what to write to give to his people so they would know how to obey their God, how to trust their God, how to love their God, how to know how much the God loved them, and how to teach this to their children. So here, as Moses is coming to the end of his life, just before he climbs the mountain to look over to the promised land for all the promises God had made to his people, he pens this letter to them, and he gives it to them. And then when Joshua, after Moses dies, God tells Joshua not to let this law depart from your heart. He says you're to read it, you're to talk about it, and you're to think about it. And you're to teach it to the next generation. Joshua does that his whole life. His generation does it. But if you fast forward to the next book of the Bible, Judges, three times in the book of Judges, it says it was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And when you get to the end of the book, you find out why. The generation after Joshua didn't teach their children to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their might, or all their strength. To wholeheartedly, for your whole person to love God. As we think about this love of God, he tells them that it's something they need to know. The Lord your God is one. I've been preaching through Exodus. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God that is represented in the Bible. There is no other gods. Why was this important for Israel? They was fixing to cross the Jordan. This Moab plains where he is writing this, they looking across Jordan, there's the promised land. But in the promised land are all these idols and all these pagan religions that's going to be competing for their worship so that they will worship the things of this earth instead of the God that created everything. And here Moses says, don't forget, there's only one God. And you're to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Today, as we dedicate Miss Bristol, we want to think about her parents. As parents, they will do everything they can to protect her. Look, they afraid she's going to get hurt on the couch. They got her all bubbled up. The best protection we can give our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. You know, As parents, we make a lot of mistakes. If you say you don't, hey, you just made a mistake and told a story. But the Lord gives us grandkids and great-grandkids to help not make the same mistakes again and to help show our kids and our grandkids where we went wrong. I tell my son all the time, he said, well, how do you know? I said, just think back when I was raised in you. I had to work all the time. I thought it was more important some Sundays to work than take you to church. I call him all the time when he finds something more important to do on Sunday morning, tell him, look, don't follow my example. Do what you know is right. Do what the Bible says. The best thing we can do to protect our kids is to teach them to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their might. And I know what some of y'all are saying, well, my kids are grown. Well, you're probably going to have grandkids. No, I don't have no grandkids. Guess what? Look around in the church. The Lord's starting to send kids here to this church. We're responsible for them too. So this morning, as you look at this, Moses says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. And then in verse 6, he says, these words which I'm commanding you today, which words? All 66 books of them eventually, when God got the Bible put completely together through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through authors that was moved to write God's purpose for each one of these books. This is what we're to teach them. He said you to teach them today, and it shall be on your heart. In other words, this should be your guiding influence. This is, should be what directs your mind and your thoughts. And he says to here that you are to teach them diligently to your sons. This means sons and daughters. It means children. And then he says you're to talk about them. Now I want to give you four of the best times, according to Moses, through the guidance of God. God says here's four of the best times you can teach your children about me. He says, first of all, you are to teach them when you sit in your house. So when you're sitting in your house, you should be teaching them about the Lord. And you say, well, I do. Well, think about this. We got more electronics in our house now and more things going on in our house than ever before. Think about all the influences that come into our home that teach the kids not to love God as much as they love other stuff. If you don't believe me, think about it. If you watch, I call it antenna TV, you still get commercials. And if you got commercials, they are telling our kids, you need this to be happy, you got to have that. Look what other people's got. They're always competing for your loyalty. This is when we're sitting in the home, we need to talk about the Lord. We need to let them know the influence the Lord has on our life. The best way we can do this is what God has been teaching them throughout the first five books of the Bible, is to tell them who God is, what God has done for you in the past, what God is doing for you in the present, and because of what he's done in the past, what he's doing today, you got hope that he's going to take care of everything tomorrow. And you need to tell them that instead of them hearing how you don't like this or you don't like that or look what they done and I can't believe this. We need to be telling them that our hope is in Jesus Christ. So when we are in our home, we need to be sharing this with them. Also, look at the second thing, the second time that's best to talk to them. Not only when you sit in your house, but also when you walk by your way. Now, I know a lot of y'all didn't walk to church this morning. Y'all drove some cars. So think about this. When he's talking about walking by the way, he's talking about when you leave the house, when you went out to the market, when you went to the temple, wherever you might be going, when you was walking in the hedges and the highways or walking in the paths, when you take your kids anywhere, you should be teaching them about the Lord. Now, when's a good time to teach them about the Lord? When you're on the way. I'll never forget this. I come through visiting one time, my grandson and them. My daughter-in-law asked me to get them ready for school. I got them ready, told them to hurry up and get out there to the mailbox. You got to get on the bus. My oldest grandson that everybody says I have marked, I don't know why, but he looked at me and he says, Papa, we don't ride the bus. I said, why don't you ride the bus? He said, we car riders. You know, sometimes we can't pick our kids up. And used to, this never happened. But nowadays, it does. A lot of times we don't pick our kids up in the afternoon. They go to daycare or they ride the bus home. But a lot of us take our kids to school in the morning. And we're so busy trying to get them on time. And we're so busy trying to get to work. And we're so busy to get our day started. We forget to show them how much we love God. If you take your kids to school or to daycare or anywhere, or your grandkids in the mornings, or you pick them up for their parents, if it's your grandkids, wouldn't it be a good time to say, let us pray? I just want to pray with y'all this morning that y'all have a good day. We can teach them that we're dependent on God. And we can talk about these things, not only when we're sitting in our house, but also when we're traveling, when we're going outside the home. The next best time to teach your kids to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their might is when they lay down. My grandma Thomas, now I lay me down to sleep, my soul to keep. She taught me to say that prayer and taught all the grandkids. And I got some cousins that hasn't come back to the Lord. The Lord blessed me and saved me. But you know, when I try to talk to them, when I try to talk to them about the Lord, you know what the first thing they say, even if they don't go to church? I still say my prayers at night. They might not be living the way they should, but Grandma planted that seed in all of us. When we get ready to lay down, that's the time to reflect on the day and tell our kids. It's also a time, if we're reading them bedtime stories, to read them biblical bedtime stories. Sally Lloyd-Jones and some of these other authors have written great works that tell the story of the Bible. I've got one in my office, and I'm going to show y'all some of these that I've picked up through the years and read so I could recommend them to people. And there's some there that tell the story of the Bible in such a way that no matter how old the child is, they can understand it. And what greater way to teach your child to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul is start reading to them before they can read themselves, so that when they get old enough to read, they can keep reading. For Christmas this year, for the kids that's been going to children's church and wouldn't be here, we've already ordered these beginner Bibles. I'm supposed to pick them up the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, they easy enough for me to read, bad as I read. We can read them to our kids when they lay down. When they wake up in the morning, that's the best time. As we get ready to get them up, we need to teach them about the Lord. When they have breakfast, you know, it doesn't hurt anything to pray at a meal. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. It teaches your kids that you love them. And when you get ready to sit down to eat, that is a good time. You can. They make a lot of these little calendars that have Bible verses or a little devotion on them with a Bible verse. You could read one of those Bible verses to your kids at one of the meals every day. My Aunt Claire was raised by my great-grandpa because her parents was killed in an accident. She always called him Daddy, but he was actually my great-grandfather. And when I first got called to the ministry, she was talking to me one day, and she told me, she says, you'll make it in the ministry. I said, you sure, Aunt Claire? She said, yeah, because I heard my daddy every night at the supper table pray that the Hardys had five generations of pastors, so that his ancestors, so his descendants would know to love the Lord, their God. She says, I can never remember finishing a meal when he didn't pull out his Bible and read us a Bible verse and tell us something about it my whole life. And when she passed, she left a note for me to do her funeral. And when I picked up, she had about four wore-out Bibles. When I opened one of her Bibles, it said this, I can never remember not believing that God loved me and Jesus died for me. That comes from parents dedicating their children to the Lord and turning a house into a home. That's what it says here when it says, and write these on your doorpost. You know the difference between a house and a home? The love of God. That's what makes the difference there. And he says that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul when you wake when you lie down at night and when you wake up in the morning. This morning, as we come to dedicate Miss Bristol Kaylee Hart, I'm going to ask her mom and her dad if they will come up here to the front and bring Miss Bristol with them. Now look, they got her all dressed up. For y'all that can't see good, I got her on the screen. Amen. As we're gathered here today and we begin to do this, I just want to charge the parents here. And charge means I'm urging you to take an oath before God right now. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'll ask you to answer at the end. Do you, Misty and Travis, do y'all promise in the presence of God, your friends, your family, and Hunt Springs Baptist Church to do your best to instill in Miss Bristol the values and teachings that will lead her to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you promise to pray daily for her? Do you also promise to entrust her to God for her whole life and offer her to God to use in His service and ministry? By making these promises, you put the best hedge of protection around her that you ever can. Now, I'm going to ask the church, do y'all promise to pray for this little girl that she'll come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, that she'll be protected from the wiles of the world, and that God can use her in service? That's what y'all say, we do. Do y'all promise to pray for Misty and Travis and Caden as they make their house into a home? Do y'all promise to help them in raising her and Caden? You know, a lot of y'all have already raised kids, and the things they run into, y'all can share with them the Bible stories y'all used when you was young. You can share with them the lessons that you learned. And as I've learned, tell them not to make the mistakes that you made. Hey, here's a better way. Somebody showed me. As we get ready to dedicate her, I'm going to ask if her family would like to come up here. Caden, you want to come up here? Tony, do y'all want to come up here? Y'all give them a hand. I'd known Tony for a long time, but here's how God works. Tony come to saving faith in Christ, and we baptized him this year. Travis and Misty come to saving faith in Christ, and we baptized them this year. Caden comes and goes to Children's Church and loves, what is it, peanut? What did Mona tell me you wanted? Goldfish. I had to go get goldfish the other night because I told him cookies, and he just looked at me. But he gets to come and enjoy and realize that, guess what? Children need to understand that Christians can have fun too. And that's what we're here for. And today, we dedicate Miss Bristol. So if you will, bow your heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Fathers, we come before you now, Lord. We just come before you as we just present Miss Bristol before you. Lord, we just ask now that you would be with Travis and Misty and Lord Tony, and that, Lord, you'd be with Travis and Misty, that they would raise her and Caden in a way that they would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They would learn that you love them so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that if they believe in him, they'll not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. Lord, we just pray that you would just be with them in their home and help them set aside a time to pray with their children, to read scripture to their children. Help them grow in their faith, Lord. Help them learn to pray. I know sometimes when we just got saved, it's difficult to pray out loud, Lord, but I pray you just give them the boldness to pray in front of their children. And as they and their children learn to pray together, that, Lord, it would honor you and you would bless their home. Lord, we just thank you, and I ask that you bless them not just today, but in the days and the weeks ahead, and that, Lord, you would help them raise her in such a way that she would be a mighty influence for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Along the way, as the children of Israel was leaving Egypt, and as they went into the promised land, every time they passed a milestone in their life, they did different things. They might set up 12 stones as they crossed the Jordan. They might build an altar, different things that God told them. These was memorials. These were something to mark, signposts in their life where something had happened. And in every one of those instances, God told them why he wanted them to do it. He says, when your children asked what this is for, you tell them what God has just done for you. And you tell them what God's doing for you today. We give you this certificate that certifies that today y'all dedicated Miss Bristol Kaylee Hart to the Lord. And when she gets old enough to ask... When she gets old enough to ask, you tell her that November the 13th, 2022, is the day we promise God to turn our house into a home so that you will know that Jesus died for your sins. Y'all give them a hand. Thank y'all. Thank you so much. And I'm going to ask Canaan Land if they'll come now, and Caden and the kids, if y'all want to go out to Children's Church with Brother Randy, he's at the back, and he's going to take y'all out to Children's Church. Y'all keep moaning your prayers also. She's come down with something overnight. She felt bad when she woke up this morning, so y'all keep her in your prayers. Y'all give all them kids a hand.
He mentioned, too, with all the veterans that were here this morning, we as Canaan Land also like to acknowledge all the veterans in the audience. We're glad that you stood up this morning. Because of the things that you've done, we can stand here in this church this morning, and we can proclaim, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And nobody's coming through that door to drag us out of here. Because of the veterans and what you've done. So we appreciate that. We appreciate that so much. The veteran and Jesus Christ are the two people that have given their lives so that you can have the freedoms that you have today. So in honor of that, we'd like to dedicate a song to the veterans. It's called Let Freedom Ring, and takes us from a time of when this country started to where we are today, I believe, pulling together as Christians. Seeking freedom and life anew, though so many lost their lives for liberty. The cost was high, but they prevailed. Resistance came to no avail. With each victory, a shout let freedom ring.
Let freedom ring, we shall proclaim. Let freedom ring in Jesus' name. With one voice, undivided, we shall.
God bless America, and He has blessed America. He has blessed America. He's blessed us too. We travel all over the place, and we're just so glad to be here this morning. We want to share one thought with you. We're glad that you're here. Hope you didn't come to get entertained or anything like that. We're singing to an audience of one. You just happen to be sitting in the congregation today. So all the praise is going to Him. Amen. How about we get ready one day for a great homecoming? Wouldn't that be something?
It's gonna be real soon.
Gonna be Great homecoming, that means when I get home, everything's going to be all right. This is a song that LaRue wrote.
Everything's going to be all right.
Short introduction. If someone wasn't here last year, was it last year when we came, or was it a little last year? Canaanland. We say we're from Princeton because Miss Shirley's from Princeton. She started this group about 45 years ago, and has been kept it going all over the U.S. And it's really a great ministry. If you're glad to see Shirley Edwards this morning, give her a hand.
Sure, glad to see you.
To my right is LaRue Tart. LaRue's been singing with Canaanland maybe about 25 years. And she's from Grantham, North Carolina. Everybody knows where Grantham is.
It's a community out of Goldsboro. You know where Goldsboro is?
Brother West, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. But LaRue writes some of the music that we do, and if you're glad to see LaRue Tart this morning, give her a hand.
Thank you. I'm blessed to be back.
About, is it 11 or 12 years ago? 12 years ago. They stopped in, LaRue stopped in my office and said, the guy that sings with us can't be there. Learn these songs we sing in 2 weeks. And she gave me 3 albums. And so that was my indoctrination. That's trial by fire, brother, trial by fire. But it's been a wonderful journey so far. But we're so glad to be singing for you this morning. We want you to know we love Jesus Christ with all of our heart. And it's been our mission, as was told to LaRue, to tell you that God loves you. And so that's our mission as we stand before you today. Anything that's happened in your life, another song that LaRue wrote is called God's Already Taken Care of.
I thought this thing went on. Give a short introduction to this next song that I wrote. The first one, every song that I write is inspired due to a true story. This is honest truth. But anyway, this particular song, God's Already Taken Care of, is from words my oldest brother, Donnie Rogers, said. He was a house designer for many, many years. And but in year 2004, he was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And they told me he had to have surgery to remove his pancake-sized tumor that was in his brain. But the day before he went into surgery, he told us as a family, that's when everybody could be there. Told us as a family, he said, you know what? I'm not worried about this. I'm not fretting over this surgery. Because to God, it's just another day. It's just another project for him. God's already taken care of it. When they brought him out of surgery, they told us they couldn't get it all. Because they said if they had gotten it all, he wouldn't be able to talk or walk the rest of his life. It was in that section of his brain. But they said he has less than a year to live. That was over 17 years ago. Okay. God had done that. But when he was in surgery, I thought about what he had said. And so the Lord gave me the inspiration right then to use the words he had said in this song. So he co-wrote it with me because not long after he got home and was recovering, I said, Donnie, this is your testimony. Write the verses. But it took him a while, but he finally called me one day. He said, first it was just for me personally. The Lord woke me up with words this morning. But he said, then I realized it was no matter what anybody's going through. Just remember, he's going to take us through it. Whether it be through it here or through it to heaven. And by the way, today will be 4 weeks ago, my brother Donnie did pass away. But it was a different kind of cancer. He got his all his muscles controlled. But let me tell you, every day that I saw him, he said, I'm ready to go to the Lord. And I would sing this song to him sometimes. And he was trying to sing along with me the last parts when he was got to the place he was so weak. He would try to mouth the words, but I knew that he knew what he was talking about. God's taking care of him right that moment. And he did when he brought him, took him home to heaven just 4 weeks ago today. But I hope you enjoy the message in this song. It's got a little soul jazz to it because my brother played guitar beautifully. He used to play guitar with Shirley when we had a full band back in the 80s. So he had to go to the studio with us. He said, I want to see that guitar player play this song. See if he and I wrote it. But anyway, I enjoy the message that's in the words of this song. God's already taken care of no matter what you're going through. Amen.
Sometimes we're faced with troubles and trials. We just don't understand. We must keep our faith in Jesus and keep holding to his hand. Many times we get so discouraged and we don't know what to do. We must stay strong and hold our head up.
Yes, he has. Just a little sideline. Shirley's a member at Bridge PH Church, Pentecostal Holiness Church in Princeton, 2,000 members. LaRue's a member of St. John's Pentecostal Holiness Church, a couple of hundred members, 200 or 300 members. I'm a member of Dudley Christian Church, Disciple of Christ. We have 25 on a good day. But what you're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, is a frozen chosen standing between two happy clappers. And every once in a while it comes out, it creeps on us. If somebody
We're working on him.
Somebody said amen at my church, everybody would fall out. They wouldn't know what to do. But it's great. So this little song, this next song is about a little country church. And being everyone here has a special gift. God has marked you in a special way. And you are a mark of his mercy.
Now I'll never be the same.
Last year when I was here, I was in a bad way. I don't know if you knew, I had buried my husband 2 weeks before I came. And he was my best friend. We've been married 63 years. And did everything together. Even went to the grocery store with him. Hauled me around shopping and would drop me off at the door, and I grieved him so bad. You know, I just thought life had come to a stop, but it didn't. One day God said, "Don't you know he's having the time of his life?" I said, "Yep, that's exactly what he's doing." So I had to stop grieving so bad for him and start rejoicing. Because I know that he's in a better place. And that song right there just became so more precious to me, Pastor Wes. Because that sounds like home to me. One day I'm going. One day you're going. If you're a Christian, I hope you are. And if you're not, today is the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you're not saved today, you better get ready. Because he's fixing to come back. You know, that's a North Carolina statement there, a fixing. But I believe he's a fixing to come back. It's going to be real soon. Amen.
Amen. One thing, Mr. Raymond drove us everywhere we went. I mean, he was the bus driver.
We followed him around.
But now he did love bluegrass music. So in honor of Raymond Edwards, we're going to do a little sing-along. Y'all sing along with us. You've probably heard this song before. Glory to his name. As we finish up, I remind you that there are many stories in the Bible about miracles. Many miracles. But we stand before you today saying that we think there's probably one that's the greatest of all miracles. And that's when that stone was rolled away from that tomb and out walked a risen Savior. And we serve a Savior that's alive and well. He's here. He travels with us on the road. He's in your home. He is everywhere. Amen. The greatest miracle is our salvation when that stone was rolled away.
Another hand. And I just want to thank the Lord for these babies that's in here and these young people that's in here this morning. That's a blessing that they are here. And I want y'all to remember your grandkids, your great-grandkids, and your children, to teach them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their might. Moses says if the Israelites would teach them that as they was growing up, he says here in closing out chapter 6, that when your children asked you in times to come, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you, then you should say to your children, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt. He's talking about the plagues of Egypt, and he's talking about the Passover when he told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb, put the blood on the header and the doorpost, stay in your house, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They just sung about, I believe, in the blood of Jesus. That's what we're to teach our children. And we shouldn't be ashamed to tell our children that the Lord brought us out of the bondage of sin to bring us into the kingdom of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should teach them that and give them every opportunity to come to know the love of God. And He says then that if you will obey these statutes and learn to fear the Lord your God, it is for your good. I want you to think about this. God never gave the Israelites any laws until He delivered them and saved them. He'd already saved them before He gave them the Ten Commandments. We need to teach our children that God gives us rules, but He saves us first so that His Spirit can help us obey. And one of the commandments, the fourth commandment, says, to honor your mother and father so that your days on this earth may be prolonged. That's the first commandment that comes with a promise. If we love our children, we'll teach them to love the Lord, to obey the Lord, because that is the best their life can be in any given circumstance. Let us bow our heads. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might have grew up in church, or you might have heard that the Lord loves you. The Bible tells you that He loves you this much, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus died in your place. He lived the life that you should have lived and died in your place. And 3 days later, after His burial, God raised Him to show you that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice in your place. Canaan Land just sung about the greatest miracle was when Christ was resurrected. Because that's our promise, that no matter what we've done, if we ask Jesus to forgive us, He's already died in our place. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's this simple. Say, Lord, I know I've not lived life your way. Lord, I believe that Jesus lived the life that I should have lived. I believe He died the death I deserve, was buried, and you raised Him, so I know that I can be forgiven. Please forgive me and take control of my life. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. Kind Father, we just thank You for our salvation, but Lord, we just ask for boldness. We just ask for the Spirit to fill us so that Your Word just flows out. That, Lord, we're willing to tell other people when they ask that You've delivered us from the bondage of sin to the kingdom of Your Son. And that, Lord, by following You, living in Your love, living in Your guidance, that our life is the best it can be, no matter what our circumstances are. That no matter what's going on, that, Lord, You've already taken care of it. That You will settle all accounts, either here on this earth or in heaven. And, Lord, we thank You that our sin debt is paid. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank y'all for being here. Y'all give everyone a hand for coming. Okay, and they have CDs. Good to see you, Ronnie. Good to see y'all. Hey, Miss Kendall.